T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Mully and Hall. Mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
I can promise you this. It's going to be completely fair. It's going to be extremely competitive in a good way. It's going to be a healthy competitiveness. And, you know, in the end for us, going to be a collaboration of what we all feel, and I think that's all that those guys really ask for and want as competitors.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is the voice of Matt Nagy. He's talking about the Bears quarterback competition, and we're delighted to bring in Jim Miller. He joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Morning, Jim.
I'm doing great, gentlemen. How are we doing? You staying safe? You sound good.
Thanks, buddy. Thank you. Yeah, we're wearing masks even as we do the show. It's pretty extraordinary for David.
For me?
No, I'm kidding. Jim, you know a little something about quarterback competitions. As we all recall, you were in a few of them in the course of your career. Are they ever fair? Is there ever such a thing as an open competition?
Yeah, I think there's fair open competitions. I don't like three-way competitions. I've been in those, and I just don't think those work. I do think when you got, you know, two guys competing for the starting job where you can split the reps and obviously give guys the best opportunity to gel with a team and still work on situational play, I think it's more than fair. And I think, you know, just for the Bears aspect of it, yeah, I think it's healthy. It will be good. I think it'll challenge Mitch to get better, and I think it's going to challenge Nick Foles as well, because I think we know Nick's been in a few in his day, and, you know, probably why he feels confident that he can come in and win the job.
He's coming off a bad year in Jacksonville, Jim. Mitch Trubisky not coming off a good year in Chicago. Foles has the experience. Maybe Mitch has the benefit of having, you know, been in this organization as long as he has. Who do you think has an advantage heading into training camp whenever training camp starts?
Well, I do think Nick Foles got more of an advantage in the just the nuances of the offense. I think we know he spent some time, you know, not only in Kansas City, but also in Philadelphia. So he comes in knowing a lot of principles. And even all last year, he was with John DeFilippo. So he knows what is going to be asked out of this offense. Why, I think Mitch is still learning it. You know, I think when you look at Coach Nagy came in, it has been a challenge for Mitch, especially when the offense has had to adjust. It's, you know, like last year, it's a tight end-centric offense. You don't have a tight end to speak of, so now you've got to manufacture things in other areas, and your offense has to adjust and go in different areas, more three wides, more four wides, things like that. And I think that's where Mitch struggled, because it went away from being a tight end-centric offense.
Jim, I know you follow Michigan State football, having been a former star there. Do you remember the brief Nick Foles era of Michigan State football?
Yeah, I do. At that point, Danny Enos, I played with Danny at Michigan State. He was the quarterback coach at Michigan State. Oh. Think about it. They had Kirk Cousins. They had Brian Hoyer. They had Nick Foles all in the same building. You know, and for Nick, he had as good a shot as anybody to win the job, but I just think, you know, he was a long ways away from home. I don't think he liked that, and ultimately he ended up transferring back into the state of Arizona. And, you know, he still talks to Mark D'Antonio even to this day for Nick Foles. So I don't think it was anything where, he felt he couldn't win the job. I just don't think his heart was into it and why he returned to Arizona.
You know, Jim, we talk so much about the scheme and how it's similar to, you know, what they ran in Philadelphia, which is similar to what was implemented in Kansas City and the Andy Reid tree and how it extends to Doug Peterson and Matt Nagy. How big of an impact or how much of an advantage does that give Foles? You referenced it, and I think that, you know, when you think about, this is the Bears. It's the Bears' offense. The personnel will be totally different than what was in Philadelphia, than what they have in Kansas City. So how much, what are we talking about here when we say that Nick Foles has an advantage over Mitch, given that Mitch has actually been in the offense here in Chicago longer?
Yeah, well, I think, well, when you know your offense, you're not focused on what you're doing. You're focused on what the defense is doing in order to attack it. What I mean by that is, like, say for Nick Foles, when he hears a play, he knows what all 11 guys are doing. Now when you get up to the line of scrimmage, what's the defense doing where I can attack it? See, that's where the discrepancy is between Mitch and Nick Foles. If you go back to last year's games, I thought the second game against Green Bay, and I definitely thought the Kansas City game, Mitch struggled. He struggled mightily in those games, not knowing the coverages, not knowing where to go with the football. And those things need to come second nature. That's where he should be now in his NFL career. He should know exactly what the defense is doing and how to attack it. And then when the offense starts to stray, where it's not, you know, plays you're familiar with, where the tight end's not involved anymore, that's where I thought Mitch really stumbled. And I think Nick Foles brings a great amount of experience and knows the offense a lot better, where he's more worried and focused on the defense and where the ball should go rather than where are my guys going to be. So that's where Mitch really has to grow as a quarterback, in my opinion.
Jim, obviously the old adage is that the tight end is the quarterback's best friend. Can you have 9 best friends?
Yeah, of course. You know who your best friend is? The open guy. The open guy is your best friend. That's where the football should go every single time. Go look at Tom Brady's comments when he arrived for Tampa Bay. Tom and I used to talk about this all the time. Ask the guys who I played with in Chicago. I used to open the wide receiver's door every morning, walk into the quarterback room. Hey, whoever gets open gets the rock. That should be your favorite receiver on every play. The guy who gets open in coverage is going to dictate that you go there. Coverage will tell you where to go with the ball. You just need to get there in terms of your reach. So the open guy is the favorite guy because they're the ones who are going to get the rock.
Can Jimmy Graham still get open at this stage of his career? And if he can, is he worth $9 million guaranteed?
Yeah, I think he can still get open, and I think it's a necessity the Bears desperately need. Again, it's a tight end-centric offense. You know, if you go back to, what would it be, 3 years ago, in Seattle, he scored 10 touchdowns. The year prior to that, he scored 6. In Green Bay, he only scored 5. Well, that's basically 4 more touchdowns than the Bears tight end scored all year. So, yeah, the Bears desperately need a tight end. It's a tight end-centric offense.
Would you keep Trey Burton on the roster, too?
Not if he's injured and he can't play. Your availability is got to be it. He's got to be able to play some football. You know, Bears counted on him and signed him to be an impactful player. The first year he arrived there, he scored 6 touchdowns. He was very involved in the offense, again, because of what is demanded in this offense. And last year, unfortunately, was a no-show. Yeah, I don't know what went wrong with the sports hernia surgery, but it never healed up, and it never allowed him to get on the field. And I would say the same for Adam Shaheen. That position offered 0 last year for the Bears. 0. A big donut hole. And it's a very integral part of the offense.
Jim, we went into this offseason, and tight end could have been identified as one of the most glaring weaknesses, but I think offensive line was right up there with quarterback as far as the priority is concerned. And they addressed it, but they addressed it by bringing in Jermaine Ifedi from the Seahawks. He's got 60 starts, but he was signed for a veteran's minimum. And I don't know if there's an expectation there that he will be the starter at right guard. But to your liking, have the Bears improved enough on the offensive line, or where's your confidence level with that group?
Yeah, I don't know if it was so much the offensive line last year. I do think they need to play better and less penalties and all those things. I think it was more of a schematic thing, and that's why they brought in as many coaches as they have. Obviously, Barone comes in as the tight ends coach because, again, the tight end position produced 0, not only in blocking but receiving the football. You bring in Juan Castillo, who's more of a hard-nosed guy where you're going to come off and power off and do some things. So I think that's more schematic stuff than what they're trying to do. I think the overall five, and we'll see on Rashad Coward if he's able to hold off Jermaine Ifedi at the right guard spot. But I think they all know they need to play better. They need to block better. You know, I think moving Cody Whitehair to center was something more to settle Mitch down more than a really an indictment of James Daniels at the center position. I think it all kind of went together schematically, and everybody was just trying to get comfortable just so that they could perform better. Nothing really worked. It was a little bit better after Whitehair moved to center, but, you know, not really. So I think all in all, everybody knows that there are no sacred cows. They all got to perform better, but I think schematically they're going to do a lot of different things that put those offensive linemen in a better spot where they can run the football a lot better.
There's always talk about different classes of drafts, and this is supposedly the wide receiver class where there are, you know, whatever, 12 to 14 guys that will go very high in a draft in the first round, leaking into the second round, and then there's depth added throughout the course of it. Would you advocate taking a wide receiver if there was a good one there in the second round, or is that a position they don't necessarily need right now?
Well, I think other guys got to show up and play well. You know, obviously Riley really did not have an impact last year. I would think that's a position you can wait later in the draft. I know the Bears obviously have choices in the second, and I think they come back around, you know, in the fifth and have some later drafts. But I do think you can make, hey, shoot, Hunter Renfrow was a fifth-round pick for the Raiders, and he ended up being a starter and actually a key contributor. So I think guys will be there. I think other areas of importance, whether you want to address safety, whether you say you want to take an offensive lineman, say you need another pass rusher, there's no guarantee that Robert Quinn or Khalil Mack, they're going to stay healthy. Another edge rusher is a possibility, and it's not just the first couple guys. There's guys littered through that can provide pass rush and, you know, really have that rotation for defense. So I just think for the Bears, it's really just taking the best player available, who they believe is a good football player who can come and contribute. But areas of focus are probably, like you said, probably safety, probably corner you're still not settled on, I would think. Possibly if you do like an offensive lineman that is there, and I would think an edge rusher, but I would think wide receiver would be further down the priority list.
Jim, given how much you value the scheme, and it's obvious why here in Chicago with Matt Nagy, and you look at the coaching staff and how much turnover there's been, you now have Bill Lazor, you have DeFilippo, you have Matt Nagy, all guys who have called plays before. You add in that Dave Ragone, who's been here the longest. How important is it for the coaching staff to develop a chemistry or to develop a working relationship that so one guy doesn't get in the other's way? And so there's a hierarchy that everyone respects, and it you know, there's got to be, that has to work as well for it to see any difference in impact on the field.
Well, I think overall there has to be a consensus saying, first off, this is how we're going into this. We all agree with these principles. This is what we want to accomplish as a whole as an offense. We feel we've got all these pieces on the board right now that we can play with. Then as the season goes along and say tight end position goes down, all right, hey, do we want to be a 10 personnel where we're going to dictate, where we're really going to feature four wide receivers? Or are we going to try and bring it in tighter where we bring in, say, a six offensive lineman to play the tight end position and let's pound some people? That's where philosophies can stray, where maybe Bill Lazor can say, hey, in my experiences, when we lost this position, we had great success doing this. Or John DeFilippo can say, hey, when we were back in Philly and we struggled in this area and this slot receiver went down, we used more 12 personnel. And this is how we tried to attack defenses. Of course, it's going to vary on who you face the next week and where they're weak at and how you're going to attack them. But that's where Coach Nagy can draw on their experiences and have answers and to really formulate the idea what direction they want to go in. I've said this all along. You want to be multiple on offense for those very reasons. You want to have every club in your bag to attack what a defense is presenting you. And then when you have the opportunity to do that, say for example, last year, the Bears don't feature 21 personnel. That's two backs, one tight end and two wide receivers, right?
Right.
And the Bears had no tight ends. They had no fullback. They converted J.P. Holtz into a fullback. So that became their answer. It wasn't the ideal answer, because they don't have a true fullback on the roster. So those are areas where you want to have those, in my opinion, you want to have those clubs in your bag, able to deploy them when you have those type of problems. And I just think all last year they were fudging everything. You know, you're fudging to get along, and you're really not really having a true club to pull. You know, you're pulling a half wedge when you really need to be pulling your sand wedge. You know what I mean? So you want to be able to be true and be able to deploy all those clubs when you need to deploy them.
Jim, we'll let you go, and thank you for your time. Just curious, you know, you played with Tom Brady, as you mentioned here. I believe he's about 7 years older than you. How weird is it to see him in Tampa?
Well, it is weird. You know, I thought it would work out where he would return to New England, but, you know, as much as everybody wants to say, and I'm sure Robert Kraft did want him to go out a New England Patriot, you know, I think it kind of run its course in New England. They really, Tom approached him about adding more years, I think that was kind of really what sealed the fate. I don't think New England was able to, you know, wanted to go any further than already offered from a year ago. And so it's probably the best spot for Tom to end up. He ended up with a team that wants him. They've got great personnel. They need to be able to protect him, that's for sure. So I think they're more in the offensive line business right now. But I think Tom ended up in a spot where, you know, he can finish on a high note. And I think that's what he wants to do, and we'll see what happens. But I think it really had run its course, and it's probably best for both parties to go separate ways.
Jim, thanks a ton. Great catching up with you. Appreciate
thanks,
it.
Thanks, Jim. Be good safe. To talk.
You too, guys. Be well, man. Everybody be you safe too. In Chicago. We'll talk to you.
Yep.
All righty. That is our Jim Miller. Always a joy to talk to him.
Hey, Molly, did you see, you mentioned Tom Brady, that down in Tampa, the Bucs' pursuit of Brady was called Operation Shoeless Joe Jackson. The Rick Stroud reported this in the Tampa Bay Times yesterday. He said they used the secret verbiage because Brady leaving New England seemed as likely as fabled White Sox hitter Joe Jackson walking out of a cornfield in Iowa.
Wow. Isn't it time to let him back? Isn't it time for Joe Jackson to get forgiven? Or
and John Spytek,
really never did anything.
He never. Yeah, you know, it's time. The Bucks executive, who knows Brady, said he would tell Jason Light, if we build it, he will come.
All right, we're going to take a quick minute. We'll be right back with Kevin Fishbane. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
I mean, if you want to know, it was here in Atlanta, and it was very tough. You know, my agent was just relaying some messages, and I really couldn't make up my mind, so I had to do the honest way.
Were the Bears heads or tails?
They was on the right side.
Flip a coin, buddy.
Did he mean the side of the coin?
I don't know.
It's Mully and Haw. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. And Kevin Fishbane joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline. Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. That, of course, the voice of Robert Quinn, the new pass rusher. Kevin, good morning. Thanks for getting up with us. Hope all you and yours are well.
Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, guys, to you as well. I actually flipped a coin to decide whether or not I was going to come on with you this morning.
Wow. I'm glad we were
and
heads.
I found out David Haw was on the show. You looked it up. Oh,
flip a coin, buddy.
You guys were the right side.
So, Kevin, how would you describe that whole Robert Quinn thing? Because when he said it, I think it was sort of funny, and then it was tweeted out, and then people kind of were reacting to it, and then right after the teleconference ended, the Bears spun into damage control and tried to claim that it was more of a figurative thing and not a literal thing. What did you make of it?
Yeah, you know, when he said it, David, the first time he said it, we've been on so many of these, you know, we've been at press conferences with guys, you're familiar with him being kind of metaphorical about that, but it was kind of funny that he kept referring to the coin flip over and over and over again throughout the call. And then he tells us he didn't even know Chuck Pagano was a defensive coordinator until he made his decision. I'll say this. If it came down to Bears and Falcons, obviously there's a big difference in terms of the scheme and the guys you're playing with. But it's not like either one of those teams is a championship contender. And I would imagine the money was probably similar. So, the fact that the guy didn't know who the coach was going to be before he made the decision, maybe maybe it just came down to a flip of the coin, as he said. So, again, I guess I can't put it past the guy. I guess, if you're the Bears, you're just fortunate that he picked you.
Look, in my opinion, it tells you that this is a guy that's bounced around the league and he's approaching it kind of with a mercenary mentality. He's looking at it and he's saying, it's a job. I got to get paid. I don't care what scheme they're running or how they're doing it. What's the offer? Oh, they're similar. Okay. I'll choose this one. If he really did not look up who the defensive coordinator is, that means he doesn't care what the scheme is. It means he knows what his job is, which is see ball, get ball. I'm going to go be a pass rusher. And I think it just underscores kind of a mercenary attitude.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think also if you're the Bears, I'm not sure you might not be upset about that if it came down to that, because, then you didn't have to go on this full recruitment push and try to convince him. He didn't need to be necessarily, given an introduction to a Chuck Pagano or a Ted Monachino or, when we kind of first brought him on the call and you expect him to immediately say, well, hey, look, playing opposite Khalil Mack, it's a no-brainer. But he kind of hemmed and hawed about where he's at his career. And then he did obviously talk about the talented players in the Bears defense. And he mentioned an Akeem Hicks and Kyle Fuller, and Danny Trevathan, but he didn't necessarily need that. He just looked at this point in his career, this is the spot that makes sense to him. And he's comfortable that wherever he goes, he'll be an impact player.
Talking with Kevin Fishbane, covers the Bears for The Athletic. And Kevin, so we have heard a lot of these teleconferences and we have been introduced to a lot of new players. Of all that you've heard, how would you compare what you heard from Nick Foles for 30 minutes on Friday? Because if a guy, to me, could ever win the teleconference, he won the teleconference.
Yeah, he did, David. And he was as advertised. Everyone, we're all scrambling and talking to people who know him, have played with him, just have covered him. And everybody says the same thing. He is an amazing teammate. And you kind of understand, in this world we're in right now with so much uncertainty about when things are going to get going, you want a guy like that. And a Bears franchise that still wants to show respect and support for Mitch Trubisky, you want a guy who's going to say all the right things and come in here and handle it well. For the Bears, Matt Nagy's not going to be having to call Nick Foles every day to make sure he's in the playbook or doing, whatever he needs to do physically to make sure he's ready for whenever this thing starts. And he proved all that in his 30 minutes with us in terms of talking about how he's going to handle this quarterback competition, something he's been in all these different quarterback rooms. He's dealt with so many different quote unquote quarterback controversies before. He's been benched. He's come in and saved the day in the biggest game in all of sports in the Super Bowl. So he's done everything before and he kind of knows how to handle this. And look, and as selfishly as a media person, you love a guy who's going to come in there and say, yeah, I've dealt with Philadelphia media. I'll let you know if it's a stupid question. I'll answer you guys. I'll answer the good questions.
That was
you like
great.
That. You like that out of a guy. So, again, I understand a lot of fans are not going to, they want wins. But you can listen to a guy like Nick Foles and say, okay, I get the way what he's saying tells you why the Bears believed he's the best option for them at this point.
And he also said that he called Mitch and talked to Mitch, which I think is a class move on his part. Is Mitch the underdog for the job that was once kind of coddled to him?
Yeah, I think so. Certainly the way that most of us on the beat have kind of been reading this scenario, we're all kind of in the same category. We understand that, and I think nobody was surprised when Matt Nagy said, yeah, the first snap of the first practice is going to be Mitch Trubisky. I think that makes sense and doesn't surprise anybody. And then one day Nick Foles is going to take over. Now, it might not be week one. I haven't picked a camp yet in terms of, because it's so hard to project these things. We don't even know what training camp's going to look like. It just seems to make sense that at some point Nick Foles is going to take over, because you look at this and it's like, here's the body of work we have seen from Mitch Trubisky. We have watched, we've seen what he does. We know physically he's capable of doing everything you want out of a quarterback. We just have not seen that consistently be put together in games when the team needs it. We've seen Nick Foles step into these quarterback situations in different teams for years and be a more than serviceable guy. So when it comes to, and understand the defenses and be able to operate an offense efficiently the way that Matt Nagy wants it to be operated. So when you just, all we have to work with right now, because we can't see these guys in training camp, we don't know if we ever will, we have to work with what we've seen from both of them in their careers. And everything leans to Nick Foles is going to be the guy that the head coach is going to trust more to run this offense.
What's amusing, Kevin, obviously we're getting a lot of mileage out of a quarterback competition between two guys who were in the bottom five of quarterback rankings last year and only in Chicago, right? But I think when you look at what the Bears' biggest needs were heading into this offseason, the quarterback position was at the top of the list. How much better have they gotten in this offseason, and what do you think is left to do?
Yeah, it's, you know, you obviously, if you're going to spend the money that they've spent, you better be better than you were last year. And, you know, that's what's funny about the Jimmy Graham signing, David, is it's like everyone was so upset about the money and, you know, the guy is 34 and he was slow and all these things you hear and he wasn't productive with Aaron Rodgers. Well, he sure seems to be, to me, better than everybody else they have right in that position. And you know, it's a low bar. And then you look at the giant upgrade they have at pass rush with Robert Quinn compared to what you were getting from Leonard Floyd. You know, if you want to just straight up compare Nick Foles to Chase Daniel, that is obviously an upgrade in terms of talent at that position. So you go across the board and you say, okay, this offense, this pass rush, you know, two things that really need to be improved are better. You know, the thing is that the secondary is that it's kind of where there's still question marks because, you know, Deion Bush is a downgrade from HaHa Clinton Dix. Whoever of the three guys at corner right now who they have competing for that spot, those guys are all downgrades from Prince Emukamara. So, you know, that's kind of where you look at the draft and you look at, okay, how are we going to get better in the secondary? Are we going to go find a day one starter? Do the Bears think they need to find a day one starter? Do they think they already have it on the roster at those positions? And then you look at the offensive line. Is Jermaine Ifedi, you know, that contract does not tell me he's going to start day one at right guard. You know, do you continue adding to that competition? Do you add somebody who's going to push a Bobby Massey or even a Charles Leno at this point? So, and I think you need speed. You have to find a wide receiver that could really stress the safeties and really make a defensive coordinator concerned about the big play. And you can find that in the draft. So there's still a lot of things this team needs, but I think if you look at the end of last year to where they are now, I would say that they are better than they were last year, because I think it all comes down to Nagy probably feeling more comfortable about what this offense can do with his new staff and with a new quarterback.
We were talking about people putting together lists of, you know, the best player they brought in and the best player they lost, and the key kind of loss would be HaHa Clinton Dix, according to some of these lists. I don't agree with it. I think it might be Prince, just because I think the corner position is important and you need someone that can make a play. But, you know, Prince didn't really take the ball away, and I understand the want to improve that. Does that make corner the most the biggest need in the draft? Do they trade down in the draft? How do you operate when you have 43-50 and then you're in the fifth round?
Yeah, you know, I think that a lot of this comes down to the fact that we've seen through free agency that the GM is all in for 2020. I mean, this is just like kicking the can down the road repeatedly with these contracts. You know, 2021, 2022 cap situations, that's for whoever the GM is then to situate. This is a guy that understands the need to win right now, and that, I wonder, you know, he's always been, Ryan Pace has always been, hey, best player on the board, best player on the board. But I wonder if there's an extra pressure to make sure that that guy that they take at 43, if they pick there, is somebody that's going to start right away. And that goes back to what you're saying about corner and safety. Those are where those openings are. And if you look at a lot of these mock drafts, a lot of really good safeties are going to be there, it seems like. And then you can obviously find a corner who can play there. It's interesting just because Ryan Pace has not drafted a corner in a long time. This team hasn't drafted a corner in the first three rounds since Kyle Fuller. that's one of those positions I think you should be drafting every year. I'd put it right up there with outside linebacker, another position they generally have ignored in the draft for a while. So I do think you look at corner and safety because that gives you the opportunity to bring somebody who can start from day one, and that's kind of what you need if you're going to get a top 50 talent. I like the idea of using your pick at 43 and then trading 50 back and trying to get an extra third round pick or whatever, you know, that trade is. It's because it just seems odd and counterproductive to not pick between 50 and 163 when you really need, you know, all those things I just mentioned earlier, all those different positions and the pressure on these guys to make sure they win this year. I got to imagine that they don't, you know, that they get an extra pick, but don't trade too far back to make sure they get some guys who can contribute right away.
Kevin, you've been around Mitch Trubisky since he came into the league with the Bears in 2017. You've seen all of his 41 NFL starts. You were there when he said, you know, boy, they need to turn the TVs off at Hallis Hall. And we make fun of that, and we watch that, and we observe every move that he makes. How do you think Mitch's psyche is going to handle the fact that they went out and traded for Nick Foles, and he's going to be in this open competition if it is indeed open? And how will he respond?
Yeah, David, I think that's a big question for all of us, especially considering how many people are just writing the guy off. I mean, if you poll most people in Chicago, I don't think not a big percentage thinks that he's going to end up being the guy. And Mitch Trubisky has a competitive fire. I mean, we've seen it in post games. It's not the Jay Cutler type of post game press conference, but when Mitch has a rough game, I mean, you can tell how much it wears on him. And I think sometimes when you hear from Matt Nagy, I think the Bears think it wears on Mitch too much. What, you know, that he takes some of these losses too hard, and some of the difficulties he's had the past year. So now that all this is happening, and he's got to understand that right now this is, you know, really his last chance with this team, and if he spends the year as a backup, that severely limits his earning potential and what he can be in the league, you know, in 2021 and beyond. I'm very curious to see what that means. But the challenge for Mitch Trubisky is going to be, we all know he's got the arm, he's got the mobility, he can make every throw on the field. You know, he could look good in shorts. You know, he didn't look great in training camp, and they kind of all told us it's not a big deal. It's like, don't look at the man behind the curtain. Everything's going to be fine. And we saw, obviously, that was wrong. If he comes out and he is clearly motivated, and he looks like a new quarterback, and he's making all these great throws, and you can really tell this physical difference between him and Nick Foles, and he's reading defenses better. The question is going to be, if he then wins the job, and then he's got to face a live defense, what happens then? Because that's what happened last year, is they kept telling us, this guy is in, he's in Nagy 202. He's got everything he needs. And then we all saw what happened at Soldier Field in the first night of the 100th season when the Packers came to town. And it looked like that he was seeing ghosts. And so that's going to be the challenge, is how are they going to be able to simulate, can this guy really read the defenses, operate this offense the way we need him to? Because I do think he's going to be very motivated. I do think he has shown that competitive fire over the years. It tells me that this is really, you know, probably eating at him a little bit, and he's going to give it everything he's got to try to win that job. And if you're Ryan Pace, you, deep down, I think Ryan Pace would still love to see it. And then it's a question of if the head coach can actually trust him to do it in the games, even if he's able to find a way to do it in practice.
Kevin, thanks a ton. We appreciate your time. We should tell our listeners you also have a story up at The Athletic where you talk about your favorite player, and you choose Mark Burley. And just on the way out, wanted to let you know that's the correct choice. So fantastic.
All right. I'm glad I passed the test.
Good stuff, Kevin. Thanks a lot.
You won.
All right, take care.
All right, buddy. That's Kevin Fishbane. Come on, Burley. Who only has 2 hours to watch a game? Okay, here we go.
We got a lot more than that now.
It's Mully and Haw. No, yeah. You might want to. Any game where Carlton Fisk is catching.
Yeah, no kidding.
Mully and Haw. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Being able to taste with some of the guys, but also trying to, you know, be respectful in the sense that I'm the new guy. I'm just trying to do what's best for the team, and everyone's, you know, with their families right now. So I've been able to connect with a few of them. Obviously, playing the Bears and occasionally seeing them on film based on if we play the similar opponent, you know, you're able to see, you know, Allen Robinson and Tariq Cohen and, you know, those guys play. They do a nice job. But the big thing is I got to be in the huddle. I got to be in the locker room to really see them up close and personal and see how everyone is. But I'm excited for that opportunity whenever it comes, because obviously we're in very, interesting times in the world where there's a lot going on, more so than football. And, that's where, our focus should lie.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That is the new Bears quarterback. That's Nick Foles, and that's from the news conference on Friday. Fascinating to hear from him.
He called Mitch Trubisky. Do you think that is unusual?
Yes.
Did you think that it was?
Yes.
Did you think it was genuine?
Well, if you would call him, you'd be like, I'm coming for you.
Yeah. And I bet you that Nick was so sincere that he had him at hello. He was just
are you kidding?
That kind of guy, right? He calls, he's like, Nick Foles, the way that he came across on Friday, he probably by the end of the conversation had Mitch Trubisky thinking it was a good idea that he was coming to Chicago to take his job.
Okay, so the NFL announced on its website that Mitch isn't very good and that and that Foles isn't much better. What do you
well,
think?
Well, in context, this they didn't announce it. This is what they did.
It was just a joke.
Very interesting list by Greg Rosenthal, factoring in talent, production, age, and the contract. And ask the question, which quarterback would you most want to have under your team's control moving forward? And obviously, the number one choice is Patrick Mahomes. Lamar Jackson is second. Russell Wilson, third. Deshaun Watson, fourth. Carson Wentz, fifth. And then, Mully, you've got to go way down. Nick Foles comes in at 28th, right ahead of Andy Dalton at 29th. And then you go past, okay, then you get down to the bottom of the barrel, and there's Jarrett Stidham at 32. Oh, wait, there's Tyrod Taylor at 33. There's Marcus Mariota, 34. Oh, there's Mitch Trubisky, number 35 on the NFL.com list of quarterbacks.
On the list of 35 quarterbacks. I guess they have to include them. There was only 32 teams, but he could be a starter, so you better include him. Again, the embittering idea behind all this, number one, Patrick Mahomes, number four, Deshaun Watson. The Bears instead ended up trading up and taking Mitch, who's only included because they extended the list beyond 32 because he's in a quarterback competition, so they have him dead last in the NFL.
And the one thing, too, that, we talked about the Bears flirting with the idea, negotiating with Teddy Bridgewater. He's ranked 25th, so it's not as if there's a lot of confidence expressed in a guy that signed the big contract that he did down in Carolina. And you wonder where, how he's viewed around the league. Cam Newton, not even on this list.
Right. Yeah.
So considered a guy that anybody's counting on next year. He doesn't have a contract, certainly, but in terms of having somebody whose value you would, you'd want moving forward as your starter, he's not even listed.
Yeah, listen, I think that when we actually kind of break everything down and look at where these guys are placed on, these are such arbitrary lists. And this is such nonsense to figure out. These things change from season by season, as is a great example of that is obviously Cam Newton. So you're taking all these other things into account. And I think what hurts Foles as much as anything is that not only is he getting the $21 million guaranteed, but they gave up a fourth-round pick for him. So those things are mentioned in the little bit they have on him. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you he's the 28th best quarterback or worst quarterback, any way you want to look at it, in the NFL. I just know that he's finally a guy in here that can compete for the job. They finally have an option. They finally don't just go into a season with a hope and a prayer. And again, are you wasting a great defense? Is that what you're willing to do? Are you now in a win-now mode because everybody knows their jobs are on the line, as opposed to previously when it was all about developing the quarterback? Things have changed in Chicago, and we'll see how that works itself out if indeed Foles gets under center and is the man.
And today would have been the first day of off-season NFL workouts for teams with new coaches, and the Bears would have been right around the corner. But today would have been in Dallas and Cleveland and with the Giants and then the Panthers and the Redskins. They cannot do that, so teams and players are have to find other ways to stay in shape, Mully. And I got a kick out of hearing Nick Foles talk about, you know, keeping his arm sharp or having to possibly throw to his brother-in-law, who was a tight end in the league, which sent me searching for the Google machine. Did you know who his brother-in-law was when he said that?
You know, I did because I read the book. That's right. Yeah, it's his wife's brother, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That was a brother-in-law joke.
Evan Moore. Very funny. Oh, yeah, I got it. All right. I'm a little late on the uptake here. I'll blame the delay. But Evan Moore is a tight end with the Packers, Browns, Seahawks, and Eagles, 2008 to 2012 Stanford guy. I guess that is going to be Nick Foles' offseason target. If he is able to socially distance and throw further than 6 feet, he will be throwing to Evan Moore.
I believe you've misspoken. It's never Stanford guy. It's Stanford man.
Oh, I'm sorry. Right. And how do you know a Stanford man is a Stanford man? He'll tell you.
Gardner Minshew is number 22 on this list. Is that accurate?
That can't be right. I mean, I saw that, that's one of those things you quibble with, because is he a better? He's 22. Ryan Tannehill is 20. Now,
again,
I understand
contracts and all that stuff, right? He's
91 guaranteed. Yeah. But the gap is wider between Tannehill and Minshew than that, isn't it?
Well, you would hope so. I mean, you would have to think so. But again, I think it comes down to, you know, the investment that a team made in the player. I think this is a different type of list, and he's looking at it a little differently than normal. As I go through this list, though, I think I'd take Nick Foles ahead of some of these guys. I think I'd take him ahead of Haskins or Drew Lock, but, I mean, who knows? We'll talk about it tomorrow. All right, David, it's magnificent to talk to you as always, and we want to thank everyone for calling and texting and emailing.
Most of all, thank you for listening on this Monday.
It means a lot to us. Thanks to our executive producer, Dustin Rhodes.
Enough is enough.
And our guy, Kevbo.
You haven't destroyed very many brain cells at all.
And, of course, Ray. God bless you, Ray. You're the
best.
That's right. We love Ray. All right. God bless everyone. Stay safe. We'll be back in the morning. Mully and Hall on the score.
Take care.
End the story.
I see you soon, baby.
That's all I got.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.